Exactly drenched in company up here at the outpost, if you know what I mean. Other than these scraps of radio I pick up. And even they are often a bit grotesque, or vague, or bewildering. Of course old Leonard's here, yes. And he can be quite agreeable. When he's in the right mood. Which you might detect from my tone, he most certainly is not. Today. In fact, he's avoiding me. I know why it is, I know what it is. He's avoiding me because I let some slugs into the operations room. HQ? I did, I'm not ashamed to say it. And I know, probably not your first choice of guest either. But it's just been so diabolical outside, I felt sorry for them. Even if they are built like a licorice all sort. Lord knows I've been woefully unkind to their kind in the past. I felt like making amends. The thing is, after the haunting we had up here, Lynn built some dreadful door security system. He's paranoid about any more unwelcome ghosts getting in. But this door system is like having a straight-faced guard dog that you can't see, and it certainly doesn't want to show anyone any love. It's called it Jingo. Anyway, I was editing some tapes the other day when these slugs turned up. As you know, we don't get any bloody visitors here, so I'd almost forgotten about this Jingo character.
Knock! Knock!
Jesus, Jingo, you made me jump, you bugger. Who's there?
Warning! There is a...
slug.
At the...
door.
A slug, Jingo? Calm down. Hardly worth a warning siren, is it?
Correction.
There are some
slugs.
Plural.
At the
door.
Well, I consider that we've got guests. Let them in, please, Jingo. I'll put the kettle on.
Door open.
They slithered on in, tentacles waving a friendly wave.
Welcome. Do come in, do come in. I thought it might brighten up a bit by now, but by the looks of you, it's still pretty wet.
At the time, it seemed like a good excuse to put the kettle on, to take some pride in the place, you know?
So yeah, this is one of my favorite bits of equipment.
Lean against the proverbial mantelpiece and tell a few anecdotes, that sort of thing.
The second version they made of that model, the first version. Well, you had to make a 3 decibel room here, and I'll show you where we first suspected that the ghosts were actually getting in.
They seemed,
between the floorboards.
They seemed interested.
Yeah, we've ended up putting a few charms and a bit of sage and whatnot around.
And they were perfectly charming company.
Well, but that's probably where they were coming in.
Then after a somewhat leisurely tour of the outpost, I eventually politely encouraged the slugs to leave again.
Being possessed and throwing up or something. Well, look, I really must be getting back to my work before old Leonard accuses me of skiving. It's a shame you didn't get to meet him, actually. But it was lovely to meet you, and do stop by again sometime, won't you? You're welcome anytime. Do stop by. Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. I've come to regard them as quite misunderstood. Poor souls. I must confess, it was something rather moving I heard on the radio just before they arrived. I'm going to play you an interview and a song that opened my eyes somewhat to the charm of a slug. And perhaps you'll join me in making a new impression of the slimy little creatures. We'll see, eh? Pressing play for you now, HQ. Okay.
Thank you very much.
And I wish you all the best. And you know, Robbie says that...
Hello. Welcome to the programme. Today we're talking about slugs.
Bring us closer to the truth and nature of these fascinating neighbours of ours. We've got slugs and snails expert Ruben Simoncelli.
Hello.
Ruben, you've been working with... Is that the right sort of thing to say? You've been working with slugs and snails for, well, your whole life?
Yes, near enough. It all started, you know, down at the bottom of the garden, as with anyone else's experience of slugs and snails. Looking at the structure of the snail's body inside the shell was really quite fascinating. But slugs came along later on, and everything changed. Everything changed dramatically at that point. I won't lie, the reason I became an expert in slugs and snails is mostly to do with my work in riding slugs. I don't know if you're familiar with any of that work.
Of course. Tell us about riding slugs.
Well, I just remember standing on a slug one day and it moved differently to anything else I'd ever stood on. And it was swift. I wanted to know what it felt like to do that with a saddle, with my feet off of the ground. You know, there's two things you really need to know about riding a slug. Number one, it's trust. Surprise, surprise, you need to have the most solid sense of trust in both directions. The slug needs to trust you and you need to trust the slug.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got that, I mean, the rest is just an adventure, because once a slug trusts you and you've learnt to trust that slug, you really are in for a treat.
So what kind of... trust exercises would you do to build up the trust with a slug?
Dancing. It's a one-word answer. You dance with a slug. It's late at night, preferably moonlit, but it doesn't need to be. You can do it with artificial light. You can do it with head torches, and you can do it with red light. You just create some sort of atmosphere.
Mm.
If you can find an elevated area with a view.
Sounds quite romantic, actually.
It's not about romance, it's about poetry and atmosphere. Mm. And
I get you.
Delight, you know, this is mm-hmm. This is embarking on something delightful that the slug wants to be ridden.
Yeah.
It wants to know it has a connection like anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so we dance.
What kind of dances is it?
Everyone's different. Every slug's different and every slug rider is different. It's each situation is its own chemistry.
Hmm.
And you have to adjust. You have to adjust your perception of time. Mm-hmm. And rhythm. It does take a while.
Hmm.
It does take a while, for sure.
What kind of music do slugs like dancing to? Is it, have you found that there's a certain genre or artist or... Yeah, what do you...
Music-wise... in fact, I might have some. Can I use this tape player? Can I put some on? I've got a tape here. Hang on. Let me just.
Yeah. All right. Okay. While you're doing that,
I'm gonna.
If you've just joined us, listeners, yeah. We are delighted to have Ruben Simoncelli in the studio today, and it's very exciting because he's brought in a tape of music you would typically find a slug rider and a slug getting to trust each other to.
Hang on. I just find the right bit. Hang on.
Picture that while you listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
absolutely loved it. That's that does make me want to go and find a slug.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Maybe I will. Carol,
can you...
Yeah, she's waving. She's already recorded it. We're going to do this later on. We've noticed out the back here in the studio, there's a small courtyard thing. It is slug city out there, so we're going to go and we're going to see if we can trust ourselves a slug later. So you said that there's two really important things for riding a slug. You said the first is trust, as we...
So you trust your slug, you've gone for your dance. And the second most important thing, once that trust is there, the second most important thing is journey planning.
Journey planning.
I've been riding slugs for years. And let me tell you one thing. You need to plan that journey and you need to be in control. You need to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
The slug left to its own navigation setting, it just doesn't really serve anyone unless by accident. I'm kind of known as quite a dynamic rider. I don't like to stick to one style. I like different terrain. You can really put the slug through its paces if you mix up the route. But a slug will mix it up in a way that's...
Are they driven by food? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, there is that.
Do you follow trails? Do you actively not follow trails? The snail trails, the slug trails, and can you tell the difference between the two?
It's a very good question. You can tell the difference, yeah. You can tell the difference between a snail trail and a slug trail. Probably more so when you're riding on a slug, because the slug will behave differently, move differently, glide differently when it's crossing the tracks of another slug to when it's crossing the tracks of a snail. Sort of vibration, as if kind of doffing his cap or having a chill of fear. There are slug rivalries out there, and also the thrills, the chills of love, where perhaps if they weren't being ridden, they would turn left and follow the trail to see if that was, to see if it was an amorous trail.
Yeah, but what can you share with us about...
So these journeys that you're planning, what kind of journeys do you choose? Is it just pure leisure? Where do you ride them? What do you ride them for?
I think what it is I am trying to remap my environment through slug travel. I do trust modern human maps, I do, but I just want to know that I've found the terrain for my own in my own way. I want to know that the river is where the river is because I've traveled there by slug. I want to know that the elevation of a certain plateau or a certain rocky outcrop is there and is as steep as they say it is because I've been there by slug. You know, you've got time. You've got time to sort of monitor the slug's performance through the journey. You can hop on and off. Mm-hmm. It's not like opening the door of a fast moving car and jumping out to see what kind of gradient you're on. But with a slug, you can. You can just hop off, put your spirit bubble down. You can do a quick bit of maths, and you can even catch them up later. You know, you've got the trail.
Yeah.
You've got the trust.
Got the trust.
Yeah, I just like mapping things out. I sometimes meet up with other riders. We sometimes go for nice little midnight feast picnics somewhere.
So if you go for a little midnight feast picnic with other riders, are you tying them up?
Oh yes. We tether them. We try not to. We don't call it tying because tying sounds too restrictive. You know, these are wild animals. Mm. They're not. We may have the trust, but it's not like we've tamed them.
Sure.
So we do. We tether them.
What do you use for tethering a slug?
At the moment, I'm using small rubber bands that I've dipped in olive oil. Mm. And you do have to keep an eye because, you know, a slug can get out of a rubber band that's covered in oil if it wants to. The oil's there to avoid any discomfort to the slug. So you have to go over and just sort of shuffle the band back to a point on its body that it's going to struggle to get out of.
I mean, yeah. Are there any people that think this is bad for the slug's welfare?
Not really. Sometimes people have an issue with the weight thing.
Yeah.
Is the slug bigger or is the rider smaller? Question comes up that it is happening and your brain basically decides it's not worth trying to work it out.
Okay.
As long as you keep a certain distance. If you get too close, I will push you back. Maybe there's a third thing you ought to know about slug riding, and that is that slug riders do not trust anyone approaching.
Uh-oh.
I trust my animal, but I don't trust a curious onlooker who gets either gets too handsy or mouthy. or, you know, worst case scenario, a bit footsy.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. It's all right, take your time.
It just brings back a time when somebody did get too footsy with Arthur, my second slug companion. Arthur was a good slug. He
It's okay.
Oh, I don't know.
It's okay. I tell you what. Why don't we'll go to a short break, and if you're feeling up to it and you'd like to carry on, we can come back to hearing more about Arthur after a short break, or we can move on entirely in the conversation. So, how does that? Is that good? Is that cool?
That's very sweet of you. Thank you. I might just have a drink and is that all right? I might just
Yeah, of course. Take your time, Ruben, please. All good. All right, so we are talking slugs and snails today with our special guest, Slug Rider Supreme, Ruben Simoncelli. And we'll be back just after this. Don't go anywhere.
Music producers, you're probably wondering how to achieve that perfect new old sound.
Yes.
You need The Past, an incredible new plugin from Limbo Labs. Send your audio back in time using The Past and have it processed by Vintage Gear in real time.
On The Past.
Our engineers in the actual 1970s will record your audio, digitize the quarter-inch tape, and send it back to you here in the present. The whole process is instantaneous due to the malleable nature of time. So there's no time wastage, just sweet retro results.
The Past.
But why stop there? For a complete sonic solution to your problems, try our Deluxe Edition and sidestep the need for creativity or software at all. The Past Deluxe allows you to order your audio direct from the past without making a sound in the present. Just be quiet and let the past do the work for you. Future you will thank your past self, and your past self will most likely be unaware that anything happened, while present you can just look forward to the past and its effect on your future sound. Sound good? Then order the special Relativity Geometrics plugin today. That way you might already have it. You may have bought it before hearing this advertisement, in which case you don't need to do anything at all. Just shut up, sit back, and enjoy the past. The new plugin from Limbo Labs that puts your sound back in its rightful place. Inadvertent space-time anomalies created by using our services may cause havoc with your grasp of reality and possibly your own existence. We take no responsibility for risk, injury, or potential grandfather paradoxes caused by your purchase.
I don't want them going in my shoes or my biscuits either. Absolutely.
We've made peace, HQ. Provided I only let a maximum of 2 slugs in at the outpost at any time, and keep them out of this sock drawer. Between you and me, he's probably jealous of their graceful movements. Quite cool characters when you get up close. So check this out, HQ. I managed to record some more slug riding music. This one appears to have been quite a hit on certain stations.
Hey there, slug rider. You ever been out on your trusty slug when the moon is bright and the air is fresh? Just minding your own business, following them trails. When all of a sudden you hear a strange whisper in the air, beckoning you somewhere new. Well, I had that very thing happen to me just the other night. That voice, it wanted me to see something truly amazing. And let me tell you, slug rider, I ain't one to brag. I seen a lot of things on the trail, but I ain't never seen a giant centipede. Come and see a giant centipede. It was getting kind of late. Me and my slug had been riding since sundown, and it was nearly sunup. I was afraid this magnificent creature might not be awake no more, but that voice was telling me centipede never sleeps. Centipede was the biggest in all the land. Now that's a lot of leg. A mighty fine lot of leg. Legs for days. You'd expect to pay a lot of money to come and look at a giant centipede, but, and I'll understand if you don't believe me, but it was free to get in.
Sometime, you're more than welcome to. As usual, I've attached some notes to this transmission so you can access all the details necessary. Okay, jolly good. Over and out, HQ. All the best. So, Leonard, what do you think about snails, on the other hand? Are you still just suspicious of anyone that doesn't take their helmet off? Really must learn to be a bit more trusting, Leonard. I've always thought they were rather fetching.
Operator.
M.
Leonard.
From.
Ghosts.
Please visit
www.patreon.com/radio/limbo. Thank you.